Hi, and welcome to the In the Cortex podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Paloma Garcia.
And I am Danny Perricone.
And we're the founders of In the Cortex, an online community with programs that show people the tools that they need to change their lives through brain reorganization. No medication, just movement.
When you get your brain out of survival mode and regulate your nervous system, you start to live in the fun, logical part of the brain, the cortex. Subscribe today and learn how to live your best in the cortex life.
Hi, this is Danny. Before we start today, I want to ask you to take a quick second to rate and review our podcast whenever you're listening. This really helps us reach new listeners and spread the word that the brain can change. Thank you, and now on to our show.
Okay, we are so excited for today's episode. We have a super duper special guest here with us, Melissa, who is a member from our program, and she has been with ITC for quite a few months now. She's going to share her journey and kind of what brought her here and all the things that have changed in her life and just kind of have a fun conversation about Melissa. And it's just, you know, a good time to hang out because we love you. So do you want to tell us more about you, Melissa? Like, your kids, you know, you're a mom, wife, all the things.
So I am all those things, a business owner. I have a full-time job. I kind of juggle all the things. And I would say I'm like the normal American, just trying to do it all. But I have always felt like a super anxious person. Like, I've always felt different than a lot of people. And I came across this program because I was trying to help my daughter, who is 8. And I think that's the story of most of the people who find this program. Do you see the cattail? I've been doing this since September of last year. And last year was definitely one for the books. So I have 2 kids, one who is 5 and 8. My husband and I have been married for about 14 years, and we've been through some ups and downs. We own a business together, and that brings lots of fun along with just the regular stuff.
So let's talk about, like, when you first heard about the program, were you at least like, were you kind of like, what? I have to do what? That sounds really weird.
I can tell you that I think this program was definitely divine intervention because it came at a point when I was like trying to manage ADHD for my daughter. And I was like, oh, she has all these tendencies. I don't want her to get on medication just like I had to, because I know what it made me feel like, and it made me feel out of control. And like, I was very productive, but it didn't fix the like underlying issue. So I ended up getting off of medication, but my daughter is like a high feeler, and I'm a high feeler, and I never wanted her to go through life without the tools to be able to feel better than I had. So as usual, like, I actually found out about you guys through a friend of my best friend, and she lives in the same neighborhood. So she was like, hey, you might want to check this program out. This might be helpful for your daughter. So I was fully committed, probably because of my goal and my why. So I was interested my daughter through it. Now, if it would have been for me, I probably wouldn't have committed, and I wouldn't have
made totally.
We would just have conversations, you know, every day about like, it's got time to do our scoots, and she'd be like, and I call them scoots, not creeps.
Scoots.
We got through the program. We had some like mishaps, but we pretty much did it 7 days a week because we were at a really low point in my life specifically. And I wanted her to release like trauma related to me sort of going through like a really low spot of a panic attack, nervous breakdown situation. So I heard about the program through a somatic therapist, Christiana, and she was like, hey, you might want to try this with your daughter. And I was freaked out because I didn't want to feel as bad as I had. So I was scared it would send me up, right? And so like, I think I was terrified to do anything to get, because I knew where I was and I didn't want to go back to the lowest point. But then after a while, I was like, I deserve to feel better. I'm ready program, like, it's gonna help me. And she kept saying it would be like reorganizing your closet, and I think that's how you describe it too.
Yeah.
going to feel messy and then it's going to get cleaner. And I can tell you there were like many shifts along the way. Mm-hmm. But I started at like a 0%. I felt it like a fish out of water, I think.
I feel like that's why you're one of like our classic members, because you started like at that level, right? And you were still a mom, a business owner. Like you had all these things that you did. It's not like you were, you know, the brain is really good at compensating, and you had all these different compensations in place. And I think a part of you knew that you were compensating. So that's why you were scared to even get started. No.
Yeah. And so I was going to therapy at the same time. And my therapist was basically like, well, have you felt the shift yet? And I was like, because Danny, you kept saying like, you're going to feel a shift. And I was like, no, but I don't feel the bubbles anymore. And she's like, mm-hmm. Oh, so like my whole life, I thought everyone had these bubbles of anxiety in their stomach and their solar plexus area. Right. And I had no idea that that wasn't a normal feeling.
Wow.
And so she was like, so it's the absence of anxiety. It's mm-hmm. not shift. It's not a change in who you are. Because I thought, oh my gosh, right? Like it's going to change my creativity. Right. That's what they say about, you know, ADHD.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, well, what if I'm not creative anymore and I can't come up with solutions? But now I'm able to be thoughtful about those solutions and instead of freaking out and instantly reacting, I can be like, okay, well, this is happening and this is what we're going to do and it's okay. Not fight or flight anymore, which is great.
I love that you just said that too, because I think that's so helpful for people, because when we talk about change, it's scary. It's like, well, I don't know what that looks like and what that means, but it's the absence of anxiety. It's the absence of feeling like you're, you know, disorganized all the time and you're reacting. So now it's like something goes away. That's the shift. That's the thing that shifts inside of you. So I think that's really good to highlight for people who are listening, is like, it's not like you change your personality. Actually, your personality, the real you, comes out even more. Like the real Melissa's here, right? The Melissa who is now getting compliments. Like tell people, like, now, how many months? 9 months later, people look at you and they go, you're so calming. And you're like, I've never been a calm person.
Absolutely. So right? Our business is a catering business. And so we do a lot of weddings, which are high pressure, like milestones of people's lives. And, you know, our team is amazing and we're super blessed to have a great team. And they've stuck by me when I've been really low. But this year I've gotten like 2 or 3 weddings. People have been like, I love your energy. And this weekend somebody told me I was a calming force, and I was like, who are you talking
to? I love this.
That's not me. Because I've always been like, I have to perform to be worth anything. I have to deliver. I have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's stuff that I didn't realize I was tying all my worth to. So
yeah, I feel like you also kind of, are exemplifying something that a lot of us do, where we just chuck things up to our personality. And you're like, I'm just a person who's very go, go, go all the time. I have high, high stress, high anxiety, but that's how I get things done. So blah, 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 you know? And you never knew that you could be the person who's a calming presence for others. Like that's huge. And that's still part of your personality, but this is your true personality.
Right. It was really cool because I always knew I wanted to help people, but I didn't know like what that meant or how I could help them. And I think I always brought this frenetic sense, right? Like everything has to be done now and there's no time for delays and there's no room for mistakes. And that's what sent me into a really dark place last year. Mm-hmm. Like I had, I left a job of 14 years. I moved to a new community, which was a mile away from my old house, but a whole new set of people because it was in another county. Mm-hmm. Was on 20 acres all by myself all day. Mm-hmm. I just went through like isolation, and my brain just constantly was looking for things here. And so that's what sort of sent me into that deep spot. But I think now that I'm so thankful for like my mom, and I mean, my husband was a godsend, but my mom and my dad, like all the support that I had and this program, like I would just get on the floor and scoot. My bubbles would go away. And so my husband even says, hey, have you done your brain work yet? And I'll be like, nope. He's like, why don't you go do it?
I can feel it. Yeah. Yeah. That's the best. And you know, it's really cool too, is like, was this kind of world of like looking at things from an alternative lens, was that normal to you guys, or is this like very new since September?
I've always done chiropractic work and like energy, like muscle checking with chiropractor, but I was never really into, an alternative type of medicine. I went to the doctor all the time. Like I got medication was like the solution until it wasn't. And so I will say like medication helped me from my lowest point to get me to a baseline, but it never got rid of all those feelings inside. And so,
Well, that's the thing with medication, right? It'll get you somewhere when you really need it. And that's what Danny and I always say. Sometimes you need it and it's going to get you to that next level where you're able to look at the root. Cause sometimes you're just dog paddling like this, right? And you're just like, I can't get out of this. Oh my God. So the medication will help you get a little bit more stable. And that's where you're able to look at the root of what's going on. And it's very common, I think, for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I was just like, am I ever going to get out of this phase? Right. And so, but like doing the brain work every day, I think when I hit that 6-week mark, when I think I even had to do a reconnect that said, I am safe to move forward because my body didn't want to convert to the next level.
Mm-hmm. So many.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That happens a lot.
Yeah. So Danny gave me that one. And like, I don't know. Ever since then, reconnects are amazing.
It's so fun to do the process and it's never ending. Right. And the cool part too, is now that like your husband, who is maybe not as like into all this stuff, then started seeing all the changes in you and he's like, wait, what are you doing? And now he's coming on board, which is pretty cool. And he's making massive shifts, which is so huge for any males out there in this world who have just been taught and programmed by society just to suck it up, move on, don't cry, don't feel. Right. And men are humans too. And they have emotions just like all of us humans. And so I think this program gives that space to allow them to work through those emotions and get them out. And I know that we talked about that a little bit yesterday because we got to have a cool session with you and your husband together, which I love doing. And I love that you guys, he's getting closer to all the other things.
I don't know that he's fully ready for all the things, but he's definitely into the reconnects and like he sees the benefits. I think he's just, I'm holding space. But he's seen such a shift in our kids too. So daughter, so I feel like my son is the one I've seen the biggest change in, but my daughter is like really good at masking, right? She's 8. She is figured out how to fit into the world. She, and so like she would get emotional, but she knew how to push it down. And so helping her figure out like she can be, I'm ready to stand out was one. And she's like,
oh yeah,
for all the things. And she's, you know, she's not afraid to jump into things anymore. And she's not afraid to stand up against the mean girls at school or like knows her self-worth. And that's like my number one to help my daughter and my son be like really good people and be kind.
Yeah.
Comfortable and not scared of everything.
Right? Absolutely. And I think really quickly, what you mentioned is very, very common, is that girls and women are better at masking and compensating because our corpus callosum is larger. So we have so much more communication between the two hemispheres. And that's why it's very common when kids start getting, you know, diagnosed or teachers start to notice that something might be off in the classroom or whatever. It's usually the boys, or it's more often boys. And the levels of diagnoses of like autism, ADHD, dyslexia, all of the different learning disabilities in boys are just so much higher. So I love that you know already. You're like, maybe I can't tell that much, but I know she's masking part of it, right? And so that's a cool part too of that, all the stuff that you've learned about the brain.
Yeah. And I know how I felt for so long. And I know what I did. Yes. My teachers, I mean, that came up in therapy when I was in there. It was like, no one knew I was having a hard time.
Exactly.
Everything's fine. And that just like reconfirms that I'm crazy inside because they're telling me it's okay. So I must not know what I'm talking about. Right. And so that was a big thing. So my son, I actually laugh at this because I told the teachers, like, we're doing this program. And like, if you notice anything, like, I'm sure he'll have a few regressions along the way because that's just part of it. And I was like, just let me know if you notice a difference. And she's like, I haven't noticed anything other than like he's actually talking. Like he was like a little chatterbox the other day. And yeah. He's talking online. I was like, I'm so happy he's talking because
yes,
scared, right? Like he's getting out of fight or flight. Maybe that's not a normal parent response, but I was like, go Conrad, go. It's awesome.
Yes.
It's so true. Like you start to see the behaviors that most people be like, wait, no, I actually don't want them talking and disruptive. And you're like, actually, yeah. We're looking for this because we want him to find his voice so he can stand up for himself, so he can do all these things. So I love that you get that. It's cool. And also, too, just to highlight your daughter, remember when you sent us the message that she was nervous about, was it playing music, showing up to school?
Oh, she had a show. Yeah, I remember that.
There's a couple of them. There's the one about you driving, right, with music blasting. What was that one?
So all last year I would do drop off at like pick up and drop off. And every time we would get close to any location, she would like turn down the music. I don't want anyone to see me. I don't want to disrupt anything. I don't want to get in trouble. Right. And so we would turn it way down. And then this year we were on the way to school and she's like, please turn it up. And like, we blasted it all the way through the drop.
Yes.
It's so cute.
I love it.
And then she had a dance performance, right?
Yep, she had a dance performance and yeah. It was on a big stage at an amusement park close to us. And right. She was just really nervous. And so I think we, Paloma, you had told me to do some X's. And so right before she went in, and she gets a little embarrassed. So maybe there's some reconnects here, but
yeah.
doing things in front of other people, like this brain work. And so I had her and like four other dancers do the X's, and the dance teacher came up to me afterwards and I was like, so how are you feeling? And they're like, oh, I feel good, right? I feel cool. And the dance teacher came up and she's like, thank you so much for doing that. And I was like, well, I can help you.
Yes.
My daughter is definitely in a much better headspace, and like I love and hate seeing it come out. You know, it's a test.
Yes.
Right? And she challenges me like every single day.
Well, that's parents, right?
Yeah.
That's why we have kids. And people go, oh, and you ask parents, like, why did you have kids? Why did you want to have kids? And most people go, oh, just because that's what everybody does, right? And then when you actually look at like the real thing, and when you get into the like the true reason of having kids, for me at least, is that it's brought me to a whole new level of my own healing. Because as I'm with my son, a lot of the things he would do was a lot of things I needed as a kid. And I look at where I wasn't nurtured or where I wasn't supported, and I see it in him. And, you know, maybe I didn't get it so great on the first round, but at least with my daughter, as I've had her, because she's more of my mirror, is you start to see like, oh my gosh, that's what I needed as a kid. And I wish an adult would have done this with me. And then you can now do it with them and then help them heal, or even just not even have to need to heal as much, because now we're healing and we're regulated. So now they can feel more regulation. And it doesn't mean you're not going to have blow-ups. It doesn't mean you're not going to have dysregulation. Like, that's just a way of life. What you have now is the repair for the tools to get out of it quicker, right? And to heal from it faster. And in our chat right now is just going off in our – we have a WhatsApp accountability group. And one parent was talking to their 11-year-old and how he had something happen. And then she was able to talk to him afterwards. And he shared so much insight as to what was going on. And then they did a reconnect together and he was just like calm. And she's like, oh my gosh, like we've always been able to communicate and like talk about things, but we never had a point of like anchoring it in and then getting him to shift out of it into a different space. And that's what the reconnect does. And that's where, and it applies to any age. Like just yesterday I had to do one with my 5-year-old about being safe. And I'm like, I guess I haven't done that with her. And you know, so it's like, It's these little simple movements that just help calm the nervous system and sink it into your subconscious that now you can operate from this state of mind of I am safe. I don't need to react and respond in a way that's, you know, showing that I'm not safe. So I love that your whole family's doing it because your daughter's seeing changes, your son's seeing changes, and then your husband had a really cool session yesterday And after doing one reconnect, he experienced amazing things that you texted us. I don't know if you want to share a little bit more.
Yeah. So he hasn't, I mean, we own a business and a lot of pressure is on him to perform in a way that's like unrealistic. I think he puts all that on himself too, right? And so he doesn't sleep very well and he feels guilty about missing family time already because he's away from us so much, right? And so this season we slowed it down a little bit, so he's away a little less, but like he still feels that pull. And so he always goes out on Tuesday nights, or he always used to, and that was his like night away, but then he stopped for a few months. And so he did a reconnect to release some stuff, and it was tied to like we had our dog passed away last week, and it hit really hard on my family and especially him. And so figuring out the connection to his past and like that emotion and stuff that connected to his dog was huge. So he went and he had fun last night and he didn't feel guilty for being away. He got to see his friends he hadn't seen in forever. And then he slept all night long. And then he woke up this morning and he did all the things he needed to do, like 5:30 this morning. Kind of wild. So
that's wild. I feel like that shows so much. I think a lot of what we're saying today is showing the different kind of society's expectations. Am I right? Or am I right? You knew I was going to say it. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. Between like men and women, right? Because like girls, we're looking at girls and boys, right? With your two kids, and Danny has a girl and a boy as well. Mm-hmm. Girls are expected to act a certain way. Mm-hmm. They're expected to talk a certain way, to be more docile, to be more going with the flow, to be more quiet, right? Kind of like turn down the volume. I don't want to disrupt anybody, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's where they learn to mask all these things too. First of all, it's easier. But second of all, they learn to mask, and because that's what they're seeing in the world and that's what they know is expected of them. Whereas boys, there's so much more freedom for a boy to just be like, what? Whatever, and just go with whatever his genuine instinct is, whether that's to throw a chair or to go and hug his best friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, like, literally. Yeah. Yeah. And then as we get older, it shifts in the emotional piece. So for teenagers, girls are expected to be emotional and cry all the time and be in love with their boyfriend and have 1,000 crushes and blah, 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 and be sweet, but be kind of mean to their mom, you know, like it's that whole thing, right? They're like, oh my gosh, teenage girls. But teenage boys and older, no emotion. You're not allowed to cry. Why would you cry? That's ridiculous. Right. You're not allowed to feel anything. If you're in love with somebody, you're not going to show it. You're just going to say she's hot, right? Like, it's just all this. It's such a crazy balance that we live in. How is that not going to create so much confusion in everybody, right? And that's, you're seeing, like, I love when we see it in the families. We see these dynamics. And so that's where I love that your husband's now like, oh, okay, I do have feelings and I do have to get them out. And now you're going to look at your son and be like, he's not going to go through that. He's always going to be able to feel his feelings. Like, how cool is that from a tiny little age? And your daughter's like, I don't have to like fit into this mold that society made. I can be whoever I want to be.
I love that you just said that. And I thought about too is like, you know, oh, boys will be boys, right? And then be a good girl. Like, those are the things. And be a man, right? Those are all the things that we say very often in society. And I actually just had this thought as you were saying that. I got really annoyed because my friends were sending me messages about how boys need to move in order to learn and how they're just different learners. And I was like, yes, there is a difference between boys and girls, but everyone needs to move to learn. Like, it is literally a foundational need for all kids. And like, why are we just saying boys need this? Girls need it too.
Exactly. Because the girls are so good at masking from the time they're like 4 and they go to school for the first time. And they're like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to look like. And that's Melissa. She was like, I need to move. I need to do all these things. But nobody could tell.
Nobody could tell. So that's a big part of what I think we do here at In the Cortex is disrupt the society's expectations. And like, Paloma and I have worked very hard on our own selves of being able to say like, I've shown up at a party crying before because I'm emotional and I'm like, I don't have to feel shame that I cry, right? I'm not supposed to be a perfect robot because I think also people think, oh, you're in the self-development world. You're supposed to be perfect. We're like,
oh, yeah, totally.
Newsflash, we're human and we are embracing all of it. And so I think that was a big piece for me of not needing to be perfect and having to release that perfection And just knowing that, like, it's okay to mess up. It's okay to not be perfect. And just – but being you internally okay with not being that way is the biggest part. And that's what reconnects with you. And being able to just authentically show up as yourself. But we just saw a meme out that I sent to you last week. And it was about, you know, we talk about our best versions of ourselves and our authentic versions. But now let's work on, like, just being our favorite version of ourselves, right? We're just like, I love how I just showed up and I didn't give a you know what. And – I was just me. And if you don't like me, that has nothing to do with me. That's all you. And I can let that go. And I'm not going to sit there and perseverate on those thoughts anymore. So this is what we want to give our kids. Like, imagine a world where we have more people who can tune into those emotions, feel them, express them, let them out, and then move on. And then just keep doing that over and over.
And we are getting to that point, I think, as a society. I know we say this all the time on the podcast, but I feel such a huge shift. I mean, when in school did you ever learn about your feelings?
Right.
Like, this is something that every kid is learning. I think it's already, like, in most public school curriculums, at least in the US, they're learning about this stuff. They're learning to have empathy. They're learning to understand what it feels like to be dysregulated. So that's a huge gain already, right? So the next step is, what do you do about it when you feel that? And that's where we come in.
And that was where I went to that meeting this week. And I'm like, oh, I love that we're having these conversations about social emotional learning. And there is a lot of controversy around this topic because it's just misconstrued and who's to teach my kids. That's what the whole thing is. It's like, who are you to teach my kids how to be? And that's where parents are getting frustrated with the whole thing. And I can understand that because it's like, we all have different value systems. We all have different ways of seeing things. But that's where we want to take our spin and just be like, no, 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 we're not telling you what value systems to, like, adopt. It's more of teaching a kid, what does empathy mean? Because you can talk – like, Melissa, imagine back in the day someone says to you, oh, just put yourself in their shoes. And you're like, I don't know what that means. Or Melissa, feel your feelings. And you're like, I only feel bubbles. Like, what is that a feeling? I don't know. Anxiety, is that a feeling? And it's like, but until it's gone and it shifts into something else, then you're like, oh. So that's why these movements are so foundational. And that's where we're like, let's do our program first and then bring in some, you know, ways to work through how do we deal with certain behaviors. And I mean, I just thought it was really cool that it's starting to happen, but yet we need a tool that can tangibly shift all of it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's and I would love before we end, Melissa, if you could do, like, kind of like a list of, like, the different shifts that you felt, the ones that you felt with your daughter, the ones that you saw with your son, because I know there's some very concrete things that changed with them.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that, for example, I've never been able to go to a public event or a crowded place without being in a fight or flight response, like, space. So I would constantly be like, I don't remember much from my childhood. I don't remember much from any event. Like, I went in August of last year with a girlfriend of mine to Virginia Beach. And we went on a dolphin kayaking tour.
Ooh.
Constantly, I was worried about what was going to get me. Now, that was like right before I hit rock bottom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was just an example of, like, whenever I go anywhere, I'm not actually present anywhere. I'm totally just in my body. And I can tell you now, I went to a basketball game with my kids and my husband, and I was, like, watching the game going on. I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I enjoyed it versus just being, like, a threat search, right? I was not in that survival space, which was new. It's totally new to me, but now I can feel it. And so when I feel that coming back, I'm like, no, 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 I'm not going anywhere near it. Now, I have to say, I do resist brain work sometimes. And so I skip a few days and then I'll go back and I'll just keep going. I've learned how to not judge myself as much for it. And it doesn't define who I am. I can come back without feeling like a failure because of some reconnects. And so I think it's just like acceptance of who I am and also like understanding who I want to be and like.
Mm-hmm.
When people ask me, like, well, what do you want to do with your life? Like, what do you want? I just want to, like, be happy. I just want to enjoy, like, be present. Like, I used to climb the ladder all the time. Like, everything was, like, that next thing. And I would constantly work really hard. And I'd get promotions. And then something would happen. And I would just be upset. And now it's just, like, I'm happy where I am. And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
oh, like, I'm okay. So
that's huge.
For me is just like being okay in my own skin, and also like working on not taking on other people's emotions. I was like a and codependent type person. I think that's like the biggest thing for me. So we like, for example, we had a wedding on Saturday, and the planner got sick, and the bride's mom was an anxious person to begin with. Many conversations with her, and like it was just a little over, you know, she was very nervous. And so I showed up early, and the way she talked to me was like not the kindest, but also like I knew who she was. I knew what headspace she was in, and I was okay with, I knew I was doing my job, and I knew I was okay. And so when I how she talked to me, and they're like, I can't believe she talked to you like that. I'm like, that's her. Like, I'm doing what I was asked to do a week ago, and I'm not going to let her, like, yes, maybe she, but she's also having an emotional day. Like, I know that's not me, and I've never been able to, like, disconnect. So that's, like.
That's enormous. Yeah.
Huge for me. My kids, I think also just, like, not losing my mind when my kids have outbursts and, like, tantrums because they're going to have tantrums. Like letting them be more responsible for how they are. And I'm putting up boundaries now, which I've never been able to do. I'm holding them accountable. Like, hey, no, if you don't put that away, it's going away. Like, I'm in to wherever, like, and donate it. Or, you know, I think that's huge for me. And now they're actually like, oh, mom means business. And then my daughter, I think, really the same type of thing. Like, she's not scared, and she's not scared of me anymore, which is, you know, it's great. And I'm glad she feels comfortable expressing who she is, and she'll talk to me about things. But my son, I feel like he just, his little brain is open, and he talks to me about so much now. Like, he'll sit down and I can see when he's having an outburst, right? And he's just, but then it just, it's like something changes in his face, and his, you can see his brain starting to click, and it just slows down. And like those times are shorter now. And
yes,
and before he like reacts to stuff, he's a very ragey kid who creative, and he just has lots of energy, I would say. And I never grew up with boys, so this was a whole new experience for me. But
yeah.
Normal, right?
Right.
Like, I don't know, he's just starting to shine, and he's very thoughtful, and he just talks to me about how he's feeling, and I love it. So
I love that.
And your relationship is also shifting and for the positive.
Absolutely. I mean, I've always provided, like, I think it was out of fear, probably, like a nurturing thing. Like, I didn't want to mess my kids up. I wanted them to always feel supported and emotionally, but I was probably like too far on the other end of the spectrum, right? Like, I let them get everything. And now, like, I'm sort of coming back into the middle where my kids feel supported and have a little more structure and
have
that love too. So it's pretty cool.
And what about at school? Have the teachers noticed any like differences in their performance and their personalities, their friends?
So with my daughter, it was like the last year was hard on her, I think, and she held it all in, and she had to be the strong one, right? And or she thought she did. She put that on herself, and so I think she had a really hard time adjusting to a new school. And then also learning at a different way of learning, because this new school system is just, they just teach a little different. And she's also in grade, and like there's more expectations on them. And her teacher was phenomenal. And so like she was just having a hard time grasping concepts. And I said, just give her like 3 more weeks, right? Like almost through the hard part of this program, I think it's all going to start clicking. And they probably thought I was... I said, this is the most important thing. I don't care about your grades right now. You're in third grade, right?
Yeah.
Like, focus on building your I don't know, your system and like being able to do this later. So if you have a good, you know, a good brain or like a more
foundation.
Foundation, that's right. If you have the foundation built, you're going to be great. So she caught up, you know, over the year, and they said, I have noticed like a big difference in her, you know? And so they're like, they didn't really ask me much, but they did say like, she is catching up quicker. Like we could do all of her homework on time. She didn't need quite as much help. But yeah, the concepts. And then, you know, SOL testing is fun, but we did a lot of reconnects around like, I don't really care if you pass the SOL. I'm like,
yeah.
You are right. I'm not going to hold you back. I'm not going to make you retake it. Like, but they put so much pressure on them at school. So like how do you back home to make them feel like they're not a failure? So,
so huge. I mean, all the things you're talking about are just like the proof of you being regulated and like being able to be like, wait, what really matters here? And knowing that like a grade does not define you. And that was one of her reconnects, right? Yeah, that's right.
She came home and she found out she didn't do well on her
right.
She got on Roblox and she said, I failed my SOL test or I didn't do well. And a friend online said, well, grades don't define you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is so sweet. Like the world is
changing. I love that.
So
the world is changing. Yeah.
She made the choice. I let her choose. Like if she wanted to retake it, I said, you don't have to. I really don't care. I failed them when I was younger, right? Like,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
When you really look at the system, you're like, okay, a lot of this stuff is backwards. And that, I mean, just to highlight how far and how long it takes to implement something when we know it starts helping and working, and then it like takes 20 years before the whole system can get on board. So just know you're at, like, you're way ahead of it. You're like, at the cutting edge of all this stuff about to hit that tipping point, and you're going to be the leader. At least, you know, Maddie and Conrad will in their classrooms and showing kids what regulation looks like, because it's pretty I work with I have a lot of friends that are also out of the system, but they haven't gotten the regulation piece yet. And so even though they don't abide by like all like the standards of mainstream whatever, they still don't have that core foundation of what is regulation. And so you can remove yourself from situations, but until you work with the thing that comes with you everywhere, which is your mind, nothing's going to shift, right? And so many people think, oh, if I just go do this, this is going to be better. Or if I do that, it's going to change. But you keep bringing yourself with you. So until you go inside, right, and like really shift from the core of who you want to be. And I love how you said that too, is like, who do I want to be? And like, what kind of person do I want to be? Is really the goal here. And so I love that you're here. I love that you're doing this work. You're one of our most favorite members because we get to talk to you. And this goes for all our members. Like whoever reaches out to us the most, we develop a relationship with. And so, you know, Melissa, that was you. And we just love getting to hear about your life and your changes, because Paloma and I used to do this face-to-face way back in the day. And now we throw our stuff out into the ethers and we're like, who's listening? Who's watching? We
don't know. Yeah.
And until we get like the feedback back, then we're like, oh, cool. And there's people who silently do our program. There's people who come and connect with us regularly. There's people who come to the Cortex chats, or they're always in the accountability group. We have so many different avenues on how we can connect. And you have taken all of the avenues. And we're just so excited that you have, because look at how fast you got to see the changes. And
yes.
It's not normal to do like a whole life 180 in less than a year. I mean, but that was your path, right? You were just like, I'm doing all the things.
And ready. Yeah.
You just wanted to take it all on. So, I mean, it was the combo of ITC with Christiana's work, and just, it was really a great powerhouse couple. And look at you now. I mean, there's more work to do, like we always have.
That's the part. It's just like accepting that this is never ending, which is totally okay. But, now I definitely have more tools. I struggle with like my kids still. We still have our moments, but I'd say overall our relationship is so much better, and I'm more prepared for life and
totally
not taking on everybody else's stuff.
Yes.
So true. And think about your kids. Like they're 8 and 5. The same age as my kids. Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so think about them. They're learning. Their brains aren't even fully developed until they're 26 or whatever age it is these days. But, you know, it's kind of like, why do we expect them to be at a space of not having meltdowns, to learn how to do these things and navigate differently? And I'll share really fast. Last night or yesterday, my daughter had two massive meltdowns, like two big explosions just came out of her. We've been doing our brain work regularly. She's done so much amazing progress, and she still lost it two times. And I was like, I stayed so calm. It's almost like she's testing me to make sure, like, are you sure you're going to stay calm? Are you sure you're going to handle this? And I remember on the second one, it was late at night. It was later, and she was trying to get in the shower, and I just was repeating to myself, I can stay calm. I am calm. I am calm. And I stayed calm. I handled it with her. She was definitely pushing. I felt nothing inside of me. Normally, I would be like what my dad used to do and get like really mad and just stop it, right? Because he couldn't handle the chaos. And even my son was just like, Mom, like, are you okay? He's like, I'm scared. I hate how much Siggy's screaming and yelling. And I'm like, me too, buddy, but we got this. And I gave her two choices because it's a really good parenting thing. Do you want to lay on the couch or do you want to lay in your bed? Because you're tired and you need to lay down somewhere. And she was fighting it. And then finally, she went through all the big emotions. We stayed calm. We did rhythmic movements while she was laying in bed. And you could see her eyes just like fighting the tiredness. You're like, it's so crazy how tired you are right now. Just surrender to it, right? And then finally, like, she was able to calm herself down enough because we were both calm. And then she goes, I've made my choice. I'd like to go to the couch, which before she would have destroyed the entire room, or she would have gone and escalated and like slammed doors and like done all these big actions to be like, is someone going to get a hold of me? Because for kids, it's so scary when you have these big feelings and you don't know what to do with them because you're still learning what they mean and feeling them. And then the adult freaks out with you. And that's when it's like, this is actually terrifying. And that happened to me as a kid. And it probably happened to you and you. And it's like, okay, now that we're staying calm and we're regulating, then they can regulate quicker. And then now you're going to keep hitting these moments because they're learning, and then hormones are going to hit. And it's going to be like, oh my gosh, this is crazy for the brain. But now their brains are more regulated and can handle it. And then you're just going to be like, okay, cool. Like, now these kids have tools for repair for the rest of their lives. And it's like, that's what I want like every parent to know, is like, it's possible to, you know, work through these things and have your kids on board working with you versus you feeling like you have to take on everything as the parent and just kind of going in circles. Cause I think a lot of parents come up to me all the time. They're just like, God, my kids are driving me crazy. And I'm like, I know that feeling, but anyways, I'm happy you're here. Yeah. They're still driving you crazy.
I've said that many times before with my kids drive me crazy.
I've said it too,
of course,
because we're human and no one really tells you about this part of parenting. Anyways, we're just so happy that you have gone as far as you have. You've taken all the tools and your life is in a better place. So thank you so much, Melissa, for being here and sharing and just being you, honestly.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, we might have to do another one in another few months just to kind of see how much more growth.
Yes,
that would be
definitely
fun. Maybe that'd have be cool. The whole family.
I would love that to happen. We'll try.
We'll hold
yes.
Space. No pressure. We'll
hold space for it, exactly. Yes.
Thank you again for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and share it with all your friends. And just learn more about like what's possible when you reorganize the brain. In order to keep following us, please go head over to our Instagram account at inthecortex_US. You can find us on TikTok at in_the_cortex. You can always send us an email at hello@inthecortex.com. And don't forget to look at our website, inthecortex.com. It's just Paloma and I behind the scenes answering all of your DMs and emails. So please know we're super passionate about spreading the word that the brain can change, and we just teach you how.